the 52nd episode, which makes it a year worth of weeks.
A year worth of weeks. I don't know why that sounds so weird to me, but a year worth of weeks.
It does. It does sound weird.
So I was a little late because actually technically I'm not late, but I was trying this new streaming service Michael D is playing with. And I could not get it set up, so at least not immediately. I will, if I do get it set up, I'll text you a link so you can send it to Tia. But he is using Azure Cast, I think is what it's called. So you gotta go in and set up your own whole new station, and then allow the broadcaster. And of course, I didn't play with it until about 10 minutes ago, so he sent me details on Tuesday.
All right, I'm on the ATR 2005 USB. I did figure out the issue with the Zoom.
Oh, you did?
Yep. I don't know why it didn't work last week specifically, but I do need to create a virtual. I did need a virtual device. And I think what I did, well, actually, I do know why it didn't work last week. I didn't connect channel 3. So the top set of mics, if those are hooked up on that one, I'm assuming it's probably the same way for the H4. But those XY mics that come with it by default, and I would assume with this 6, if you attach any other microphones, those are your channels 1 and 2.
Okay.
So while I set up a virtual device, I didn't add channel 3 wire connection.
So kind of like with the Rodecaster, you have to add channel 5.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That's exactly it. So that's why it didn't work.
Okay.
But you do need a virtual. Now, I imagine if I set it up for stereo instead of single track mode, then it probably would have been fine. But of course, you know, I wasn't going to do that.
So I'm not taking my setup with me to CSUN tomorrow. I am going to take the H1E, and I'm possibly going to take a lapel microphone, and I hesitate because I had like 3 lapel microphones, and guess what? Can't find a single one of them right now.
Story. Well, one of them you had was an XLR, so it wasn't going to work for you anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But two of them I have were 1/8 inch. They were from that audio equipment.
That kit.
Yeah. So that's what I might take because we're still going to do Unmute on Tuesday from the hotel room. So if I don't take that, you know what? I've got this MacBook Air microphone, and I just won't talk that much.
Just use the QTU. Make sure you take a C to C cable. Mm-hmm. And I thought your port was broken.
It is. One. You're right. It is.
Nah, I would take the you're taking the H1 anyway.
Yep.
But take a C to C cable and just put it in microphone mode and use it. That would give you slightly better audio.
Right. That's probably what I'm doing. Just don't hold it.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only problem is I don't think you have like a little mini tripod or something to sit it on.
No, I'll just lay it on the desk and lay my head on the desk and talk.
Or I'm trying to think, is there anything? I'll think of some stuff. But yeah, that I think. Look, I was gonna have to use that setup today. I thought because we got times mixed up. So I left the house and I left a bunch of crap at the house, including the H6.
Oh.
Uh huh.
Huh.
So that's why I'm actually not using it. However, I've also decided just for there's a lot of weird shit. I'll tell you about it. And yeah, that's that. So that's why I don't have that. But I thought I had left my microphones too, because I thought I had took them out of the bag in preparation for Saturday. And I was like, oh fuck, they're not in my laptop bag. Like, oh man, that means I got to use this H1. But they were in the clothing backpack, not
gotcha.
Laptop backpack. Yeah,
I will get to put my hands on an H6 this week because we have a customer who bought one of those and it's coming. And I told her I want to check it out because I let her check out the H1. So,
oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, fair trade. Fair trade.
Yeah, I still think you ought to buy that one when you get ready to buy the a H6. Bigger one. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to like. I'm looking at a Mackie mixer because having my own mixer, being able to send audio multiple places is something I need to do before April. But I think the Zoom line of products might become a primary interface. I'm very nervous about this Vocaster. It does some weird things. Like, there's nothing wrong with it right now, but it does some weird things to my audio. And so if I decide it's time to get a new interface, it's going to be the H6 probably. So, yeah, traveling tomorrow. You know what I realized? We talked about this in June or July. Oh, by the way, happy 52nd episode.
Hey, yeah, because we're here.
Yeah.
And we're doing it, man. A week's worth of, nope, that's not what I said. What did I say? A year's worth of weeks we have shown up to get this show done.
A year's worth of weeks is the name of the episode because I always struggle coming up with episode titles. So that's what we're using. But we talked about it back in June, July, of these Flighty and what was that other one we played with?
Trip It.
Yeah.
Pro.
And I'm not using any of those. And like, this is the second flight I've been on in the last 2 weeks. And I'm just using the Southwest website to track my flight status. Maybe I should use Trip It, but I'm not going to set it up because I saw the value in it. It was cool to play with. It's like these Celeste glasses I have. It's kind of a struggle to just pull it out and use it because I already have my workflows in place, and maybe there's easier ways to accomplish stuff, but with what I have set up right now, it's just use the Southwest website, check your flight status, and go from there.
You know, there's a Southwest app you could also use.
Yeah, I also heard that it has when it comes to accessibility on VoiceOver.
I have not looked at it in a while.
I have no personal experience, but that's what I've heard.
So I can co-sign that from probably 7-ish, 8 years ago. But you know, I hadn't looked at it since then. Because even the Southwest flight I took to Houston, like I didn't touch their app. I just pulled it into Flighty and did that thing.
Well, and you
tested Flighty out.
I flew American Airlines going to Washington, D.C., and they emailed me my boarding. Well, they emailed me a link that I could check in, and then when I checked in, it offered me to add my boarding pass to Apple Wallet.
Apple Wallet.
Yeah, and I did that, and it was kind of cool. It was a better experience than the last time I tried that because when I got to my layover flight, it went ahead and updated the boarding pass to the proper boarding pass, and it did not do that in the past, but this was like 2 or 3 years ago. And so that was nice. I might do that with Southwest this time as well if they offer it, but I just didn't use their app. And I always get a paper pass for my first flight, like going to where I'm going, because Mallory gets a gate pass. So she can go through security with me, and then we hang out on the other side of security for a little while, and then I get on my flight and then go on with my day. But because of that, I have a paper boarding pass. But when I go back, like I'm coming home, since it's just me, typically I'll just grab a digital pass and then
do the digital.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me about that too, and I hadn't flown anywhere since you told me about that, because you told me about it going to where was ACB last year?
Schaumburg.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I should remember that because I totally could have took Tia in there with me to hang out with me while I was waiting on my plane. But I didn't because I didn't know I could do that. I thought it was going to be a whole big hassle. I didn't know it was a simple process. Like, I knew you could get somebody to go through security with you, but I didn't know it was like kind of that
simple. Make sure they have their ID and preferably nothing in their pockets. Just make it easier, you know? I've gotten to that point too now where I just throw everything in my backpack. I don't have anything in my pockets anymore. It's all in the backpack.
Yeah. And then you get somebody that, you know, decides we're going to tear this whole backpack apart like they did me on the way back from Houston, which was awful. And that's how I lost the speaker. Yeah. So flying out, you're flying out to CSUN.
Yep, tomorrow.
You say you're flying out tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I did not realize you were actually flying out tomorrow. I probably would have.
I don't fly out till like 1:10 though. So it's not like a super early flight. Okay. That's why I wasn't too worried about it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was actually grilling last night. We could have made it work, but it would have been much later.
Ah, gotcha.
And I figured like, man, let's, if tomorrow's okay, we'll do it tomorrow. Cause I'll be back here not doing anything, not running around with kids and stuff. Cause man, they stayed up super late. Like, I don't know what they've been out for spring break all week though. So it was like, it's just rocking out 10:30 at night.
I'm going to Southern California during spring break. Hopefully it'll be smooth because it's going to be opposite. So spring break started like Friday. So I'm going down there when everyone else is leaving and I'm coming back when everyone else is going there. So we'll see how that turns out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And when do you come back from CSUN? Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be back home. And we can move. I'll be home again next weekend because we're out for spring break here.
Oh, sweet.
Starting next weekend. Yeah.
Good, good.
So got some stuff handled this weekend that needed to get handled. Unfortunately, life pops up and people decide that you're going to pay for their mistakes. So, you know.
So, how's your surf safe going?
Man, so I was talking to one of my fellow students today because when I got back, I called and checked in on him because he had been having some foot problems and stuff going on. So I chatted with him today and mentioned ServSafe. And I was like, man, look, I'll roll with you guys if you two are ready to try to take this test this coming week. But I don't think I'm ready. Like, I don't think I'm going to pass it if I take it this week. Because I've been studying and like there's just stuff that I know I don't remember or I'm not going to pop because we're getting down to a level of like dealing with the different sorts of contaminants. And some of it is obvious because it's things that we've just been aware of that most people, especially if you cook or if you pay attention to the news, because there's been several restaurants shut down for like salmonella, things like that.
Yep.
But there's other stuff where I'm like, man, wait, what? Huh? How does that work? I don't remember that word, but funnily enough, and he's actually a certified chef. And like he said, you know, things have changed dramatically from 15 years ago when he passed Save Surf. And he's like, Serve Safe. And he's like, I'm honestly not ready to take it either. Like I prefer to do some more studying over spring break when I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
You know, day to day stuff going on that we're dealing with in class outside of studying and all of that. I was like, man, look, I'm on board with that because I definitely don't feel like I'm ready. And I have been I'm so behind on podcasts because I've been just serve safe. Because I got to pass it. Like, it's not really an optional thing not to take. Like, I got to pass it. Otherwise, I don't get my
license.
What do they call it? Yeah, I don't get my license at the end of the class.
Which completely defeats the whole purpose of this entire adventure.
All right. So I got to pass it. And yeah. Like I said, some of it is common sense sort of stuff, but then some of it is like you really got to really be very familiar with the terms. Otherwise, you're going to trip yourself up. And they're not nice. Like it's not a nice test looking at some of the practice questions and taking some of the practice exams. Over different chapters. It's not one of those nice tests where things are easy. It's like, I can't remember if I gave this on the show or not, but one test question we had and I missed it and my partner missed it. And it was, I told you about this rice, right?
You told me about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show because I mentioned it to Jeff today.
So the basic question here was a worker, takes rice and places it on a prep table, like takes cooked rice and places it on a prep table to cool. What is the possible, I don't remember the exact phrasing they use. Basically, like what are they putting themselves at risk for by doing this? And one of the answers was, you know, time on temperature, which means they're going to leave it sitting up there too long. It's going to get past the point of, you know, you've left it out too long, basically. Well, one option was also, cross-contamination. In my mind, and this is where, you know, we both got tripped up at, in my mind, I'm assuming, which I shouldn't have done, like I've learned this from a couple other questions too. The assumption here is you removed rice from a cooker and you put it on a prep table. The assumption is that you transferred this to another container, like a bowl or something. Not that you put the rice directly on the table, like just splat. We're going to put this rice on this prep table. But that's what the question was leading to, because that's what was the correct answer, was cross-contamination.
Mm. So you got to actually pay attention to the questions and not
to the wording of, yes, like very careful wording and phrasing that they use, because it could, you know, don't make any assumptions. Read the question word for word and answer based off the question. Like, don't make any assumptions. We tripped over another one recently that even our teacher was kind of like, I don't really know what they want the answer to be here. The essential question was, you know, there's a manager who's inspecting a delivery of products from a vendor and notices that one of the products shows signs of pest droppings. What should they do? Now, the immediate answer I gave without knowing what any of the answer choices is, you reject that whole shipment. Mm-hmm. Take all of it back.
Dispose of it.
Right. I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that shipment. Like, take all of it back. Yeah. You reject the entire shipment. Well, that was not a question. Now, everybody else said the exact same thing when they, okay, you know, she read the question. Like, that was their answer. Like, no question asked. You reject the entire shipment. Because one, that is kind of what ServSafe says in a chapter, is like, that's your soup. Because if there are signs of pest infestation in one spot, it's probably contaminated everything, right? So right, just reject the whole shipment. That wasn't a choice, though. I don't remember all four choices. I know one of them was ask the delivery person for a incident report. It's like, I don't really know how that's going to help me. reject that item that shows the signs of pest droppings. Or the third answer, and this is the last two word ones we debated over, recondition the item.
Oh, okay.
And reconditioning essentially means, like, the example that I used to explain it to somebody else was, assume you get, like, canned goods delivered from a vendor, and mm-hmm, there's some, you know, smuts or whatever on top of the cans. You can wipe those cans off because they're going to be safe. There's no other damage to the cans. It's just like, oh, there's some dirt or something on top of the can. You can wipe that off because you're going to open the cans anyway and strain the whatever's in the can, yada, 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 right? So the top of that can having some kind of contaminant there isn't actually going to leak into the can, right? So that would be an example of reconditioning.
Okay.
Because you received something that had some stuff, but you were able to clean that up before you, and it's not going to contaminate the actual food. And our teacher was leaning toward, like, that probably is the answer they want. But I was like, wait, based off prior experience here with these people in this ServSafe test, they didn't say it was canned goods or even explain what the product was.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't assume that it is a reconditionable product, because if there's rat droppings on a box, like a cardboard box, well, I'm just assuming rat, but if there's animal droppings, yeah, or pest droppings on a box, those could leak through the box, right? So then you can't recondition that item. So I think the answer should be reject that individual item, since that's the only option that falls in line with the common sense that I have here. Now, I don't know if that's on one of our practice tests because I haven't gotten to that one yet. But if that is, I'm curious to see who's right.
Yeah.
But it's that sort of stuff, right? But there's conflicting statement. And the reason she was leaning toward the reconditioning, because there's a paragraph, just a simple paragraph, that says, in some instances, an item may be able to be reconditioned, yada, yada, yada. So that pulled her in that direction. I'm like, man, I definitely ain't ready for this.
Yeah, that sounds like something you're going to have to study a bit more. And having spring break to do that will give you the extra time and the availability of focusing on it.
Yeah, my plan kind of during that time is, like, especially for at least parts of the days, is, you know, this would normally be working, you know, cooking, filling machines, whatever.
Yeah.
For spring break, to just go through and just run through all of the practice tests that I haven't done and passed, and make sure that the questions I get wrong, I can verify, you know, why I got that wrong, figure that out, and take them again and until I'm able to pass them successfully with a high enough score that I feel confident enough to take it, which is basically what my classmate said too. He's like, man, I need some time to really do this because it's difficult. And I mean, we can take the test again. Like, if we take it next week, for example, and fail it, like, I think you have to wait 30 days or something like that, and you could take it again. So we could take it again, but I don't want to keep doing that.
Right.
I'd rather be more confident I'm going to pass it. And if I fail, it'll be because I just missed something. You know, I wasn't ready. But it's not difficult enough that I don't think it's passable. It's just a lot of unfamiliar stuff. A lot of it, some of it, a good portion of it is common sense. You know, but there's those questions like, you know, what is the contaminant possibility here if you do such and such? I'm like, man, I don't remember silicaga. That's not a disease, but first word I caught that I came up with is that's actually a town that's not too far from here called silicaga. But you know, it's like that, like, I don't remember, like, I need to study this more. So yeah, hopefully spring break will give us enough time. We can come back after spring break and knock that part out.
Good. Michael D, let me know if you can hear me now, because he could not hear me, but I think I fixed that.
All right, so that's my adventures with studying, because that's pretty much all I've been doing is studying. I am finally kind of getting back to a point where I actually did some work. I actually opened up the terminal app while I was here, which is amazing. Yeah, I know, right? but you've been doing some interesting stuff, and we've been – I don't remember how much of this we actually covered in the last show, but you have an interesting – dual computer setup at the moment.
Yeah. Perfect. And Michael, you should hear me now. Tell me if you hear two of me too, because you probably do now that I think about it. Okay. If I'm not echoing, that's good. Guess what, Demasi? If you want to send audio into a device called Audio Hijack Assistant, you got to actually start the audio hijack session.
Ah, yeah, that does help.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted me. So yeah, I have the Lenovo laptop to my left and the MacBook on the shelf behind the keyboard that I'm using. And anyone who's been listening for a while knows I'm pretty fond of the Logitech MX keys. Thanks, Steven. Hopefully you got an affiliate payment on that. But this lets you connect to three different devices. I haven't connected it to a phone yet, but I was sitting here using the Mac thinking, oh, I should do something on the Windows computer, because I haven't quite figured out how to get control left and right arrow keys to work properly with Parallels. So I jumped over. Ooh, I have a gripe about Parallels too. Don't let me forget about that. So I decided to connect the computer using the Bluetooth keyboard to the Lenovo, and I put that on the second channel for this keyboard. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get the audio into my headphones so I don't have to either have one ear off or plug in headphones? And then I realized headphones. I have an aux jack, and I can plug in things to the Vocaster, and people won't hear that thing when I'm talking on the microphone because I'm using loopback to grab my audio and send it where it needs to go. So I currently have an 1/8-inch cable going from the headphone jack of the Lenovo Legion 504 laptop over the behind the back of it over to the Vocaster, which is on my right, and then the keyboard is right in front of me, and the MacBook is behind that. Primarily, I'm using the MacBook, but every once in a while, I'll jump over to the Windows machine so I can look something up, or today I was trying to program a radio. And that was not successful, although Doug might have saved my day. I need to go listen to his message. Doug always has some sort of answer. It might be go ask someone else, but Doug always has some sort of answer. The other cool thing about it is I discovered that headphone jack is a smart headphone jack of sorts, because it treats the aux cable like it truly should. So I have a little bit of static. I need to go through and clean up some cables, and I'll do that when I get back on Friday. But I installed WhatsApp on the Windows laptop, and now I can talk through the Vocaster into the Windows computer and people can hear me just fine. The gotcha is people can also hear the music that's in my headphones too. So I got to be conscious of that, or they'll have very faint music in behind our conversation. So there's that. And it seems to be working pretty well. I did consider hooking the Vocaster up to the Lenovo laptop and then plugging the cable into the MacBook Air headphone, essentially giving me the same thing, except being able to control the Vocaster through Windows.
Audio routing through Windows, which is a much better experience than it is on the Mac.
I mean, it should be, but the Focusrite software never saw the Vocaster when I tried it.
Oh, wait. So you did try plugging into Windows and it didn't see it at all?
Yeah, it saw it. It saw it. So JAWS was coming out of, I think it said Vocaster or something like that, like kind of like it does on the Mac. But the Focusrite software kept saying, plug in your device. So it wasn't recognizing that I had a device plugged in. So I didn't spend too much time on it. I did not try another cable. I did try another port. But I did not swap out cables, which could have been the issue too.
What I would try when you try it again is check for updates for the Vocaster software itself first, for Vocaster Hub. And, if that's up to date, check the Mac again, plug it back into the Mac, and maybe even do that before you try switching over. Make sure there's not a firmware update for the Vocaster itself. Because your Windows software almost could went be to go later, do
it, and then I realized how bad of an idea that was.
Don't do it now. Don't do it now. But yeah, that may be the issue, is that the firmware that it's currently running, there may be an update in the software that you downloaded. The Vocaster Hub for Windows that you downloaded obviously is going to be the latest version, which you may not, if you're like me at all. When I was still using that, I didn't really open that app a lot, so it didn't get updated a lot.
Yeah.
So you're running a version on the Mac that still recognizes it, but the version on Windows does not, because the firmware is out of date.
Hopefully it's something that simple. But you're right. It gives me more flexibility, I think, from what I remember. And that was kind of what I wanted to do, was remind myself, what is it that a Windows user is going to experience? And ultimately, I don't know what it is.
I also have another solution for you.
Oh?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll get your solution in a minute. I don't know what it is, but I think it's because it's an actual Windows machine and not a virtualized environment. And that is, like, Zendesk seems a little bit more snappier. Just doing things in general in Windows seems a little more snappier. And I think it's because I have access to all, maybe there's 16 gigs of RAM on this computer. I don't know. It is nice being able to just jump over to another computer, do some quick research, and not worry about messing something up, like accidentally closing Edge or something, because you can't, because you're not on that computer.
Yeah. So the other solution would be, well, it doesn't necessarily solve your problem. It just handles your audio in a different sort of way without you having to worry about the audio getting pushed, because that aux sends everything that you hear, which is the downside. Just send you my Vocaster too, man, and then you can
I don't know if I want to keep using Vocasters though.
Because then you can just grab an 1/8-inch to XLR cable, which I could probably throw one in the box if you don't have one, and then you plug that into the guest. Plug some computer into the guest
output. Huh.
Although that wouldn't let you push audio into that computer, though.
Unfortunately.
So that would be the downside to that.
True. Yeah, right now I can push audio into the Windows computer, which kind of surprised me. It shouldn't have, but it surprised me that it worked as well as it did. I wish I had some more volume control. And then that goes into the Now, do you go buy a mixer? Do you go buy an audio interface? Do you need to buy anything right now? And that's where I am right now. I know I need some sort of mixer, and I'm looking at this Mackie probably. I want to do a little bit more research into it, but it's the one that Rip was using in DC. So like I didn't have to set it up, but I know how to set it up, if that makes sense, because I knew what he did and he talked about it. So I could easily jump in with that board and get things running. I feel like we didn't have a mix minus, but there could have been feedback. No, we did figure that out. So yeah. But we have this event coming up. Well, a couple of events. I have a board meeting in April and then a convention in October. And so I figure I might as well get a mixer, because last time we used the hotel's mixer, and get that and a decent audio interface, which is why I will get the 6, I think, because I want to do some testing. I found a 1/4-inch to XLR cable, and I'm getting some noise when I plug in the microphones, but I'm not sure if that's the cable or if that's the Vocaster. I don't think it's the Vocaster, because I don't hear the noise when I'm using my microphone. Oh, I should plug in the XLR cable to the Gemini, and that will eliminate the cable as the culprit too.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll try that. Probably while I'm editing this episode. Because I don't need my microphone plugged in to record or to edit.
That's true.
But yeah. So yeah, that's my setup. I like being able to just jump over to Windows and look stuff up and...
Yeah, that did start me down the path of thinking. But before I get to what I started thinking about and what may happen at a later point this year, tell me about your beef with the Parallels.
Oh,
I mean, I got beef with Parallels right now. I need to renew my license, and I can't get into my account because they keep sending me a code and not letting me type, or they tell me they're sending me a code and then I don't get it.
Oh, so
you can't log in to pay them.
Oh, because you had yours on your Mercury card that they canceled last year, and it hasn't had to renew, right? Okay, so my beef with Parallels is they just ripped money out of my PayPal account yesterday. I'm like, what? What? Oh, that's right, because it's a renewal. And I told Mallory, I'm like, I wouldn't be as frustrated with this if they would have dropped me an email last week. And I know we've had this conversation on the show before, but if they would have just dropped me an email and said, hey, you have a bill coming, or you have a automatic renewal coming up at the end of this week, just so you know. Now, that is my bad. I did not put it in Todoist or any task reminder to say, hey, you have this coming up. But it would have made me feel a lot better than PayPal sending me a notification saying that they took money out of my account. That's frustrating. What's more frustrating is the fact that I had to use IRA to request a refund, because the form to request the refund is accessible, but once you get to the page to enter, I'm sorry, not the form, but the getting the reference ID, because that's in your email, is accessible, but going to the form to request a refund has an inaccessible CAPTCHA on it.
CAPTCHA.
And IRA went ahead and did it so I sat there and, you know, looked around the page thinking, oh, there's got to be an audio CAPTCHA, a checkbox or something. Probably spent 5 minutes, if even that, but it seemed like forever, and finally just said, you know what, I'm calling IRA, here's the link, here's the reference number, can you go do this? And they did it like less than 2 minutes. And I had the money back in my PayPal account like that quickly, because we don't need to pay for Mallory and me to have it, because she's not using it, and hers renewed last month. And they didn't remind her, and so they just pulled money out of our checking account last month. So fun times. That's my beef, is just set up a reminder, let people know, please. And the CAPTCHA.
Yeah, that really annoyed me, because I honestly thought my had renewed, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I did, you know, pay. I was like, well, when does it renew? And that's when I first ran into the issue of trying to get into my account, because I'll tell you actually when I realized. So I was waiting for a renewal or email, actually, is what I was looking for. Like, hey, this renews on such and such a date, right? Didn't get that email. I discovered first that it didn't renew and that it had already attempted to renew on that car that had been canceled, because I opened up Parallels to go do something for AT guys and it's like, you need to renew your license. And I was like, what? Oh, it expired. Okay. So let's go do this now. Would have been nice for you to send me an email, because then I would have remembered to go ahead and go in there and fix this. But you didn't. And yeah, I know I haven't been checking my email. It's kind of sporadic and there's tons of Python emails I have to wait through and other stuff. But, you know, I ain't seen no email from these people. But also think I have them on a, cause I've been, one thing I started doing last year is, quick side note, is I started using, a different email address at Bedrock Innovations, and that still feeds into the same, my same account, but that allows me to filter, to set up a rule that filters those emails into a different box. So when I check that box, I didn't have an email from Parallels, because that makes it, especially right now where it's like, I really don't have time to go through all of these emails. Right. I can jump to my support inbox and see if I've gotten any emails to the support email address, or I can go in and check this account that I use for accounting services and see if I have any invoices or payments that are due or that have been paid or whatever. This is like, you know, automatically filing things that at least have a reasonable, you know, here's your receipt in the email or subject line or something, and having those automatically go to a receipts folder, right? So just get ready to do taxes. I can dump those out fairly quickly. Anyway, didn't see an email from them. So I open up Parallels. I get the notification. I was like, all right, fine. I'll just go pay this. All right. Change the update the card. Cool. Because it has been working. Like, there's things I don't like. There's things that don't work the way that they would probably work on an actual Windows laptop. But I realize I'm virtualizing Windows, so there's going to be some weird behavior. But for the most part, I have been able to do things that I can't do in Mac OS and Windows. So, yeah, let's go ahead and renew this. I was like, oh, while I'm in here getting this renewed, I'll go ahead and duplicate this machine too, because I've been meaning to do that, to run a setup with the Python stuff for Windows. Because like that I'm not sure is going to be better, but I'll have it there in case I want to set that up and use that instead of trying to run this through Mac OS. Although I think I'm just going to stick with Mac OS. And yeah, I am caught up on emails and I got to do something tomorrow, show up and all that. But I have been keeping up with stuff as it has been coming down. And of course, you know, I jumped ahead in some spaces and that.
Like tomorrow.
Git clone.
Yeah. I Git cloned my repository for all the course material last week. So got that all set up. I had to catch up on the recordings because I didn't realize that I've been gone for 3 Mondays now. Tomorrow, yeah. I travel. I don't remember what I was doing last Monday. I wasn't in DC last Monday. I was doing something I had a board meeting for Next Gen last Monday. And then the Monday before that, I was in DC.
You were in DC.
Yeah. I didn't realize how far I'd fallen behind, but I'm all caught up now. So that's positive. Thank you for the recordings. So you went in and tried to duplicate your machine.
Oh, no. So I never got to that point. I was just like, okay, as soon as renew this, then I'll come back and do that, because I hadn't done it yet, because I'd basically been popping into Windows to deal with certain things and then getting out. So I was like, I'll go ahead and do that, you know, since I'm having to take more time over here than I expected to. Yeah. Well, I go to the website and I put in my username and password, and then we emailed you a code. I don't see this code. I still don't see this code. I don't have this code. Where the hell is this code? So I have not been able to log in and
there's some tools that actually it's just them. Not even worth even trying on the Mac anymore. Now that you know how well they work on Windows, it's not even worth it.
And I got really frustrated, starting with when I had to put in this order for the stuff to get down here for the NFB State Convention. Uh-huh. And XCP, right? So I'm trying to do that. And I don't know what in the world is going on with Safari and this website, but it does not work the way that it used to work.
No, sir.
I should be able to just zoom through there. It's like, what is going on? Hover your mouse over something if you want to. Then whole link that you hovered over disappears.
Yeah. Yep. It just disappears.
I even tried, I even tried going full screen in case, like, maybe my window got shrunk, so it was misbehaving. Because nope, that's not the problem either. Can't get in the windows because I can't renew my parallels. I tried a Chrome browser. I tried what worked? Firefox on the Mac. Like, that's the only way I was able to get that order in.
That's a phrase that I never thought would come out of your mouth. Uh-huh, Firefox on the Mac is what worked.
Yeah. Firefox worked to get that in. Other than me probably screwing up something the other day because I wasn't paying attention or I was asleep, possibly. Not really all the way asleep, but you know, most of the way asleep or something. Everything else I did the other day should have worked too. But I was in Firefox for all of that because I can't get it to work in Safari, and I still haven't been able to get into Parallels.
But Zendesk is still horrible in Firefox. So,
yeah, I haven't even tried it because I've given up on Zendesk on the Mac.
Yeah,
altogether, like it's just not a thing.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to just zip right through those on Windows. I did use sharp keys to remap my keys, and I may undo that mapping because I find myself slipping my thumb over to Option for Alt when I want to do Alt Tab. But right now I have it set up so Option is Windows and Command is Alt. And so I had to go in and use sharp keys to reconfigure those keys to work that way, because it when it was connected to Windows by default, it was connected as a Mac keyboard.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, I would. We've talked about this before, probably on the show some. I know between us quite a bit about me picking up something like a Nook or some small, you know, Windows computer. For the purposes of, one, having an actual Windows computer, you know, on hand, it's not taking up a whole lot of space or not, you know, really in the way, but it's something I can use because Parallels, while it's great that it works, and I'm pretty certain if anybody's actually gotten VMware to work, that it also works well. But virtualizing Windows is not the same as running actual Windows on a dedicated machine, especially when you're dealing with audio stuff. Like, that is one of the main things I've noticed with Parallels, is audio stuff does not always behave the way that you want it to. And then with Parallels, at least, I'm not sure if this is also true for VMware, but even with a keyboard such as the MX keys, like, you cannot choose to pair a Bluetooth device directly to Windows. So, you know, you don't get some of that extra flexibility there either. But you mentioned to me that friend of the show. What's up, Marty? you like that super short show we did last week? I think it was last week.
2 weeks ago. I don't remember. Maybe. Because when it was horrible audio. Something like
that. I don't remember. Wow. Yeah, we hurry up and got out of there, man.
Yeah, we did.
But you mentioned he had picked up a computer from and now I'm gonna computers forget
blind.
Because I got up and had to go. There we go. For actually a pretty reasonable price. I think you said he got a laptop. Right?
Laptop for $200, I think. Maybe a little more because he did increase some of the specs, which I think that's something people don't realize, is you don't have to get whatever they send you. You can request, hey, I want 1 terabyte, or hey, I want 16 gigs of RAM. And yeah, that's going to increase the price a little bit, and it might take a little bit longer to get to you, but that is an option too. And I think that's important to know.
It is, because that is something I was not aware of. I just thought they had that machine. It was like, hey, here's an option for you. And he was like, yeah, I'll take that one. I did not know that you could request spec changes. So that's good to know. But for probably around what he paid for that laptop is about what it would cost me for one of these NUC style things. And I know they've discontinued the NUC. Intel says they're not making that anymore, but Asus makes something similar to that. And I want to say Lenovo even makes something similar to that. It's just Intel's not making them directly anymore. But that does give me portability in addition to not having to probably do something weird because, you know, you don't have a monitor with the little mini desktop thing. And I know Mac OS does not like not having a monitor.
So I don't know how Windows
that might be an option. But, like, I may go down that. I may pursue that path.
And that gives you.
Yeah, I know Mac OS doesn't. I don't know how Windows. Oh, yeah. You mentioned that, too. I forgot about that part.
Man, Clean Feed has been really, really acting up. So we do the Katie Talks Travel Show. I don't know if you've listened to that on Unmute. And yesterday we had Katie, Chris, Marty, and my computer. And I say my computer because I had double booked myself a little bit because I didn't realize that Saturday was the 17th or whatever yesterday was, the 16th. And I had to go to this local community health fair to be the representative Southwestern chapter of the American Council of the Blind of Oregon. And I had to be there at 9:30. We were recording at 9. So I said, hey, here's what we're going to do. You guys jump on Clean Feed. I'll hit record. And when everyone's on, you guys can just do the show. And then I'll call Ben and have him run down and hit the save all button. And just to be safe, I'll put an audio hijack recording going too. So I didn't even have to be there, but I had the recording and I got it edited up pretty quickly after I got home. Because I'm going to be gone, I wanted to get all that done, and that publishes Thursday. So for some reason, Katie kept getting kicked out, even when she switched over to her phone. Like, she'd be talking, and all of a sudden, it would just cut her right off, and she'd come back, and it just was a weird experience. Now, next time, I told Marty, I said, if that happens again, and she comes back from her phone, or someone comes back from their phone, ask them to switch to cellular because it could be an issue with the Wi-Fi since it happened on the computer and on the phone. But it was just weird. Like, and there was, you still can't access the dropdowns, but I'm not sure if that's a Clean Feed issue or an Edge/Chromium issue. So when I go to boost up audio or something, I just have to count how many times I press up and then hit enter. But yeah, Clean Feed's been a little wonky lately.
So I noticed today for the first time in a while that I actually can see which device is selected.
Oh, you can?
Hold on. Let me not tell you a story. Never mind. It's still broke. You can't navigate the menus, right? And I think okay. That is a... I'm not sure, I can't pinpoint if it's a Clean Feed or a Chromium issue because I know you've been using Edge.
Yeah, I'm using
Edge. Still?
Yeah.
I'm using Brave, so those are two entirely separate. And I do have Chrome installed. I just hadn't gone through and set it up. Because I feel like some of the issues I'm facing are Brave issues because they're doing weird stuff to Chromium, which may have a negative effect on stuff. For some reason, which I thought this was not the case, but apparently Firefox is not officially supported by Clean Feed.
Oh.
When I was doing the test Friday, actually, on the way back because I went home. So for people who didn't know that, I did go home. Because I needed to. I think I said that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was testing that out to figure out if, like, I had, you know, not done what I needed to do. And I figured out what the issue was with the Zoom from last week. So it actually would have worked had I just applied a little bit more thought to the process of setting that up. Pull audio from the right channel and your virtual device will work the way it's supposed to. But I noticed I tried to go in Firefox because I was going to log into Clean Feed and just do a recording to make sure it worked in Clean Feed, right? Because, you know, obviously it worked fine in Audio Hijack. You know what the hell the problem was with Clean Feed. And so I go to and I didn't want to log in Brave because then next time, because I don't actually have this link saved anywhere, I just type in Clean F and then arrow down. And it, yep. So I didn't want to mess up my autocomplete so that I can join the show. So I was like, I'll go do it in Firefox. Oh, we don't support this browser. You need to copy this link and go to another browser like Chrome. I was like, okay, all right then. This is what we're doing. So I'll just open it up in a private tab and Brave.
I joined from my phone yesterday just to monitor for a few
that's
minutes.
That's awful.
It's a horrible experience.
Yeah, it is really terrible. Remember, we tried that the first weekend I was home. No. It was before I actually left to come down here to Gentry. We tried that out very briefly.
I hear voiceover all over the place. Yeah, it's not good.
You mentioned, and I wonder if you found it actually went back and looked at whatever message Doug dropped it in, some other tool similar to this that Doug had found.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but now I'm going to go look and I will tell you in a couple of minutes because Doug sent it to me on messages. See, that's the thing with Doug. As long as you can remember where he sent something to you, it's not that difficult to find because we don't send each other too many messages in WhatsApp or in messages, but we send each other messages in both places. And I remember where that was. So I just got to scroll through messages and I'll find it and tell you what it's called.
So I wonder if you could just search in Spotlight and just search like Doug, and would it bring up messages, like messages from messages, but also from WhatsApp or whatever other app you guys are using?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I hate using search in messages itself. Like,
oh, that's because it's terrible.
Yeah. And it's not that it doesn't find what I'm looking for in a lot of instances, because it'll find it. It's just the UI of the search results is horrible. Oh, that was Doug telling me you didn't read the directions when I asked him, hey, do you know how to get the new Picture Smart to work? And he's like, yeah, you got to go into the experimental feature to work. And he said, you must not have read the directions, huh? Yeah. So, and then he sends me funny videos. I should send that video to you. It was a very good video. And messages has been freezing up lately too.
On the Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been getting that too. I think it's this update. There's a new... Have you done the latest update for Sonoma?
Yes, it's still freezing.
Okay. I haven't done that update yet.
There's no rhyme or reason for why it freezes up too.
It's because it's a terrible, terrible... what are those apps called? I think Messages Now is a Catalyst app. And that's why it's so horrible.
Actually, I can tell you what really makes it. I wonder if there's a way to disable those because I never use them. The previews for videos, because when he sent me a YouTube video, every time I hit that YouTube message, it bounces me back to the beginning of the messages, like to the most recent message.
What should I be looking at on Android? Oh, wait, did we talk about this on the show? Or was that after the show?
What?
The iPhone Android thing. I think it was on the show. Did we talk about your iPhone possible going to Android?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was in the show?
Yes, that was in the show.
I think it was in the show because I think Tia said she heard about it because she listened to this. She actually listened to it in the podcast app since she couldn't get stream last week.
Yeah. Tell her that I will work on. No, I probably won't.
No, you won't. No, not this week. You're going to be a CSUN, man. You're going to be a CSUN.
Boom.
I mean, I could possibly get her in Discord, maybe.
They hear us in Discord when I start the session.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get the name of this for you. Well, actually, I might from my phone. But yeah, there is another tool that Doug was recommending. It's not that one. There's that Sonobus, I think, is the one that uses Reaper. But there is a tool that uses Reaper that we played with once, but I think we were playing with it from mobile to desktop, if I recall right. I don't think we ever did a show using it.
No, that was Sonobus. We were trying to figure out a way to do like a back channel thing with that. Yeah, I don't think we ever even looked at it for like actually recording a show. I think we were looking at it as like a potential back channel for some of the stuff that was going on at that time, and also possibly maybe a backup recording, a way to get multiple track recording into Reaper from a bunch of different sources. But it was a little convoluted to set up. I feel like you got to have a pretty decent, you got to be pretty comfortable with the technology to get that to work, because we had some issues. All right. Did I lose you or did you just mute?
Nope, I was muted because I was going through the messages, because it's going to bother me not knowing what this. Oh, Duggan sent a message. That always makes you look a little suspicious when you unsend a message. But really, I bet for the most part, people do what I accidentally do. And that's like send, just like paste something in the wrong window and hit send. And then you just go unsend it because you're like, nope, wrong thing. Or Mac OS isn't talking, so you're entering your Mac password. And then you hit enter and you actually send it to someone.
Oh man, I have done that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Not yeah, I did that today. Like, oh, and I'm like, nope, unsend. There's no context the bad thing, to it.
Yeah, but the bad thing for us is, too, though, like people know that we're, you know, password manager users. So it's a very low probability. A very high probability you're going to be able to guess what that password might be for, because it looks like gibberish in the first place. So obviously it's probably a password. So it's only a few things it would probably be that you're typing it in manually.
And I told Mallory, I'm like, oh, I better go. I have to resend this message because I accidentally sent my password. And she goes, well, what if she already seen it? And I'm like, oh, well, she won't know what it is. So,
Like, yeah, I got it. I screenshot, I did the copy thing and everything right before you unsent it. Huh. I wonder what would happen to your clipboard if you send them, if someone sends a message, you copy said message and then they unsend it. Like, is that text still on your clipboard?
I don't think that it would. And you have a while to unsend a message, too. I thought it was like 15 seconds, but I think you have a little while to unsend a message. Like 2 minutes.
It was like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. No, I knew it was more than 15 seconds. But yeah, there's that. Source Now, old tool we used a long time ago. Source Now Connect has now transitioned over to this new platform of Source Elements. What is it called? Source Nexus Everywhere or something.
Have you played with it?
I played with it before they had made that migration, and the interface was kind of terrible. Like, I couldn't actually, I was going to actually invite you to a session for us to test it out, but I couldn't even send an invite link to my own self to join from a different device to see if it worked. So that never went anywhere. I reached out to their support and I actually replied, and I had a short, brief email conversation with one of their people. And I was like, yeah, so these are the times that I'm available. So like, I can't do that morning time you're talking about. And I never got a reply after I told them, like, I'm available these times in the afternoon, or you know, if you're open to weekends, we can probably make that work. Which is kind of, I'm not going to say I'm glad he didn't reply to me, but that was probably, I think I sent that message before I think that conversation happened before I got here. Because remember, I think I told you the CEO or the somebody at their company followed me on LinkedIn too, or sent me a friend request on LinkedIn. So, but that email conversation happened before I even touched foot down here at Gentry. Very quickly after that, I was like, that ain't reply, because I wouldn't have been able to do none of that. You have been, man. There's a mono message from Doug. He says, here's the link to that thing I told you. Oh, I don't know what your mono message said. I just heard the mono sound.
Oh, no, that was someone favoriting. Yeah, that was super loud. I didn't realize how loud my audio was. But that was someone favoriting a post. And it's kind of hard to silence Mac OS when you're on Windows, just saying. Hitting control just stops Jaws from reading what you're trying to hear and doesn't stop VoiceOver from talking.
So does that happen a lot in this setup where you're pressing keys to do something on the other computer? Yeah, uh-huh. That happened to me when I had a...
And I've been spoiled with Parallels that I can just Command Tab over to Mac OS to shut VoiceOver. Uh-huh. Well, guess what? That doesn't work. I can FN whatever the key is above the FN key, and that switches me back over to the Mac and then hit Control. But there's about a second delay between each computer, so, you know, yeah. And you expect Alt-Tab. I will fix that behavior in the next little while.
Yeah, that is one of the downsides to the multi-device keyboards. They're not instantaneous. Mm-hmm. People say, you know, they're marketing stuff. So you can instantaneously switch. No, there's like a second and a half delay from you pressing the button and being able to control that other device. Which at that point usually means whatever it was you were trying to quickly switch over to deal with is already too late.
Yep. Had that email read out and I didn't need it read right now. Or actually, I fixed that because now I don't get notifications of emails.
Oh, look there.
Yeah, finally. It only look took there. Me, what, 3 years?
I just read out the whole email just like right now. It's like, no.
Although I am super glad you knew about the clear all notifications. That's finally there, right?
I remember you telling me about it and I forget how you do it.
Yeah. So if you go into your notification center with VOO and then find the list of notifications, go to the end and it'll say, in this case, one more notification, hit VO space on that. And then VO left arrow once to more actions. Pop that down and then hit clear all. And then all of a sudden, all of your notifications are gone, which has been pretty nice.
Oh,
I do think it's a little weird that I told Type Ahead to clear all my notifications. It tried to clear them, couldn't figure out how to clear them all for me. And then in the next release of Mac OS, there's a clear all notifications button. I don't know if there's any relation there, but I've been asking for
years. Okay, wait a minute. Walk me through those steps again. I may need to.
So VOO, do this. And that takes you to your notification center, and there should be a list there.
I'm in that list.
Interact with that. And then I do 3, which goes to the last item, or VO end. And then it says X amount. Mine doesn't say anything now because there's no notifications there. But it says 4 more notifications. Press VO space on that. VO left arrow once to more actions. VO space down to clear all, and then VO space.
Ah, okay.
Kind of like you do it with on iOS. If you pull down your notification center, there's the more actions for notifications.
Yep. Okay. That works.
Yep. And then they're all gone.
Yep.
I've only been asking that for decades.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be there in the older notification center, like pre-Catalina, I think it was there. Because you could just, because that was when you had to do the I forget how you used to, if you used to get the notification center then, but it was the old style notification center that kind of looked like the phone where it was just a stack.
Mm.
And at the very top would be a clear all.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then they changed the way you get your notifications. And with that change, you lost that clear all button.
You lost that clear all button. Yep.
Yeah.
Because that old notification center also had the button for the switch for do not disturb.
Yep.
Right next to it. Yep. That one was easier to do.
Yes.
Well, good. Sir. I'm glad we got that back. And we just shared that tip with everybody that didn't know, including me. I remember you telling me that you could do it. I didn't remember the steps. I think the step I missed was hit the VO space on that however many more notifications button at the end.
Yeah, because you would
what
think
if that button, you have what if that button. Button what if that button isn't there
though? Then you don't have them only have like you can't you have to do actions on the 3 notifications that are there. I think it shows up after 3 or 4 notifications, so
super weird, Apple, just saying.
Oh, and another tip: go learn the keystrokes for Mona. Because apparently I complained, I asked the developer, hey, can you reorganize these? Because if you ever pay attention, when you do actions on a post or something in Mona, it's opposite of what it should be. So you start on the more button, which is the menu, which when you're flicking down on iOS is the very last option, or if you flick up once, it's the first option. So I went into my Mona preferences thinking, hey, maybe I have mine backwards or something, and I have them in the order that they should appear in the menu. But unfortunately, apparently with apps on macOS, the VoiceOver Actions menu shows opposite of the way that the app developer created it, which doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not an app developer. However, it was then recommended to me that if you go learn the shortcuts for Mastodon, you can quickly navigate. And let's say you want to, open a link in a post, you can hit L. Or if you want to favorite a post, you just hit F, so you don't have to pull down the actions menu on each post. You can just hit the quick keys to navigate those in Mona.
Yeah, I don't even think I have Mona on the Mac at the moment.
And you can do command question mark, supposedly, to give you all of the keystrokes. That actually lets me search my text expander snippet, so does not work for me. But Jonathan Mosen did a good in-depth
give me keystroke. One second. No, I didn't want to go to my account. Huh? So it looks like this bundle is still active that we mentioned last week.
Oh.
So if anybody is looking for Texas Mander at a nice discount, very nice discount. I didn't realize how much Texas Mander was. For a year. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's stupid expensive. I should go pick another one of those bundles up. I need to go see how many I have. I think I have two already, so. Well, sir, I think we're at about an hour. If you want to wrap it up, then I can turn around and edit this to get scheduled out tomorrow. And then I will come back next week with all of the interesting finds at CSUN that I end up running into and share those with you. Like Glidance.
That he's able to talk about, because he's going to end up with some stuff he's not going to be able to mention, I can guarantee.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about either, other than that's probably going to happen, because somebody's going to show you a thing and you're not going to be able to talk about it because you're going to have it. And, you know, I'm going to be like, man, I wish I could have went to CSUN and got that.
Yeah, I went and looked at the menu, the restaurant menus, and I'm like, it's going to be... Although next year I want to plan out for it. Told Mallory, boys and her can go to Disneyland and I'll go to my conference. She did not sound too thrilled about that. So I said, maybe we can go to my conference and then we can all go to Disneyland. So, you know, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, I will try to plan to be there next year, because I've not been. Yeah, it'll be exciting to hear what stuff you come across out there. What is Glidant? You know, the only thing.
It's
what is
the blind, the automated.
What was that cane you were talking about? Robot
cane. Yeah. Yeah. That's like, it's been described. Allison was describing it today because she's seen them at CES. And she was describing it as, you know, those little kid lawnmower popper toys where they push it around and it like pops and makes noise and pretend like you're mowing lawn and stuff. It looks like one of those, but with a longer handle. So yeah, I'm interested to see what that actually, the experience is like. She said that it actually worked. Mallory is questioning if it actually worked because she saw the marketing videos. So,
yeah, I'm questioning if it actually works. And even if it does actually work, like, is it a hassle that it is as much of a hassle as it sounds like it could be?
Yeah. Is it practical to actually push around?
Right.
And honestly, I don't really care how I look, but how is it going to make me look?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about practicality as well as ruggedness because, like, I mean, look, I've had canes that were very nice canes, telescoping cane. I'm looking at you. It is not a good outdoor cane. It's a good indoor cane.
Yeah.
But outdoor, oh, man, you're going to tear those up instantly.
And how responsive is it? Because I realize how fast I walk when I have a longer cane. So if it's super responsive, like, that'd be good. I have a 69-inch NFB cane that I've been running around with, and I...
You can get moving there, man.
Yeah.
Yep. I tell people I was 69. It's like 69. Wow. That's like, no, man. Looks like I walk fast. Like, I don't got time. But yeah, looking forward to what you find out about, especially the things that you can share with other people. Cause I know I get the, and I don't have any inside information for people listening, but I do. One, you're going to be out there running around with JJ. So there's that aspect of this. So I think you're probably going to end up in some situations where you're going to see a product or hear about a product or hear about something that is on its way out that you're not going to yet be able to talk about, which is cool. But I'm looking forward to the stuff that you do find that you can talk about because it is going to be, it seems like there are some interesting products out there that I've heard about already. So I'm really interested to see what your hands-on experience is like. And maybe we'll bring JJ in too to let him talk about some of the stuff he saw that you didn't see.
And maybe I'll capture some audio with H1E that we can bring into the show that would make sense too. So we'll see. Stay tuned for next week. And tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell a friend to tune in because we'll have our own kind of, you know, CSUN coverage going on.
Yeah. And you know we're not doing what everyone else is doing because we never have. So it'll be unique.
Absolutely. Until next week, I want to thank you all for listening this week. Especially want to thank our supporters. You can become a supporter financially of the show by going to technicallyworking.show and clicking on the support the show link. That will appear right after the first heading in a short, brief description of the show. Otherwise, we still appreciate you listening, even if you're not financially supporting us, because every listener is important, and we thank you for hanging in with us. We've been here 52 weeks now consecutively.
Yes. Haven't missed one. There's been some sickness, some travel, but haven't missed one. There's been some stuff,
but we have made it work, so we're going to keep the streak going. If the creek don't rise. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can email us with your thoughts, comments, or share some, you know, ideas, feedback@technicallyworking.show. Or if you want to reach out to Michael, because you're going to be at CSUN, and, you know, he might be able
to. Or share your CSUN findings, too.
Oh, there you go. There's another idea. You got something cool you came across that we don't mention. We'd love to hear about that as well. So feedback@technicallyworking.show. Or you can reach out to us on Mastodon. He's Payon, PAYOWN, at unmute.community. And I am Damashe, DAMASHE, at unmute.community. We will see you guys next week for episode 53.